The beginning of the Christian story is actually a God story, which becomes a human story. God creates a man, God creates a woman, and those together bear the image of God. And in the process, God gives them autonomy, authority, and agency to steward God's creation as co-regents with their Creator. This is how it starts. Everything that we have, everything that we are, everything that we see is already God's. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything is God's. Everything that we have is a gift from God. Everything that you have is a gift from God. Do you believe that this morning? Everything you have has been given to you in trust. And this morning, I want to think about stewardship. I want to think about how we handle the things that God has given us. Just a message that's been kind of, I don't know, bubbling away in my heart for a while. And when you hear me speak today, you'll go, I've heard him say some of these things before. If you pay attention, you'll maybe see that. And I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 25 this morning, verses 14 to 30. And it's the parable of the talents. And this is what it says. I'm going to read from this passage of scripture. I'm going to pause and share some things as I'm going along. And then we'll just sort of think about what it means for us. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. And when you begin to read a passage of scripture and it starts with the word again, you're immediately thinking, well, what happened before that? Well, before that was a parable, another parable about some virgins. There was 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. But then when you read that, you need to go back even further still. This is what it says at the beginning of Matthew 25. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like. What will it be like? Well, he tells us. But what time is Jesus talking about? Well, it starts even further back in Matthew 24 with a question that the disciples ask Jesus. They say, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? The sign of your coming and the sign of the end of the age. They're interested to know how the story is going to end. And I don't know about you, I get fascinated with how the God story is going to end. What's it going to look like when Jesus comes back and when he brings everything to a conclusion? Jesus is still talking about the time of the end and of the Lord's return. And in these two parables that he shares in Matthew 25, there are two principles that we need to think about. People who are prepared and people who are faithful. The parable of the 10 virgins, 5 were ready and 5 were not. And the parable of the stewards, 2 made a return and 1 didn't. And we're going to think about that this morning. Think about this. 5 of those virgins, it says in the story that the door was shut. These were people who should have been prepared. But when the master returned, the bridegroom returned, they weren't prepared. And it says about those people that the door was shut. This week, on Thursday morning, we gathered together as church leaders to pray. And the person who led that time shared from Matthew 25, the parable of the 10 virgins. And one of the things that struck me and as I prayed about this week, and I found it very moving when I was praying, was just that phrase, and the door was shut. Made me go all the way back to the time of Noah. And you'll remember from that story maybe how Noah was called by God to create an ark. And Noah said to God, what's an ark? And God gave him a plan for a big boat. But when you read that story, it tells you that Noah's trying to get people to get on the ark. He's trying to say the judgment of God's going to come in the world. Get on the ark. And people just ridiculed Noah. But there came a point in time where he had to get on the ark with his family and their wives, and it says that the door was shut. God closed the door. And you don't want to be on the wrong side of the door if God closes it. Whatever that means for you today, you don't want to be on the wrong side of the door when God closes it. And so we think about this parable. People who are prepared, and then in this part that we're looking at today, people who are faithful with what God has given us. Verse 15 goes on to say, to one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Matthew is the only person who uses this word, the Greek word talenton for talents. Matthew's the only person who uses it. It's the only time it appears in the Bible. And what he's referring to is everything that we have from God. Everything that we have, everything that we are, is what God has given us. A talent, now it doesn't tell us what it was a talent of. A talent is a measure of weight. It could be of silver, of gold, or of some other material. But people reckon that a talent was around 16 and a half years' wages of a laborer. So when this person is given 5 talents, he's given a lifetime's worth of resources. Think about that. And as I thought about that, I thought, think about what God has given us, a lifetime of resources. We don't know how long our lives are, but God has given us, for that short period of time, a lifetime of resources. And he's asking us, what are you going to do with those resources? I don't know what a lifetime worth of resources is for you. But the bottom line is that God has given us something, and we need to think about how we use what God has given us. Goes on to say, then he went on a journey. The man who had received 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. And so also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who received 1 went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. We need to remember that Jesus is answering the disciples' question, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And he's talking about when Jesus will return again and he will settle accounts with his people. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained another 2. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. In those days, they didn't have cut and paste or copy and paste. The scribe who was writing this, Matthew, had to write the whole thing out again. He's like, oh, I can't be bothered. I wish I could just copy and paste, but that's not going to come for another 2,000 years. But it's interesting that Jesus says the exact same thing to the person with 5 talents as he does to the person with 2 talents. There's a lesson for us in here. God is less concerned about what we have and more concerned about what we do with what we have. It's not about what we have, it's about what we do with what we have. I don't know about you, I want to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. But it will depend on what I have done with what God has given me. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown, gathering where you've not scattered seed. And so I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. What's the man with the 1 talent doing? He's playing it safe. And I wonder how many of us in our Christian lives are playing it safe. Maybe scared to step out. Maybe scared to take a risk on what God has given us. Playing it safe. And I think that's one of the messages we need to really grasp from this. It's so easy to play it safe. I've heard or read things about people who have been at the end of their lives, and people have asked them, what would you do differently? And a recurring theme is take more risks. Take more risks. I wonder how many people are taking risks for God today. Are you taking a risk for Jesus? Are you stepping out of the boat like Peter did? Or are you playing it safe? So easy to play it safe. Especially in our culture, where we can become so isolated and individualistic in our way of living. His master replied, and this is the third reply of the master, "You wicked and lazy servant." Wow. Mary's face is saying it all. You can't see it. What's the opposite of good and faithful? It's not bad. It's wicked and lazy. We don't hear those words shared at funerals, do we? That person was a wicked and lazy person. No. We don't say those things, do we? We say, oh, they were wonderful, even though they were a rogue. I'm only kidding. But it's so easy to kind of gloss over the things that are really important. And when we're not being good and faithful, Jesus is saying, if we're not being good and faithful, we're being wicked and lazy. I don't want to hear Jesus say those words about me. And the moment when I stand before him, when I eyeball him, when I'm face to face, I want to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. We need to consider how we're stewarding all that God has given us. So you knew that I harvested where I've not sown and gathered where I've not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put the money, my money, on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Man, this is kind of serious stuff when you listen to what Jesus is saying here. And it seems a little bit unfair. I don't know if it seems unfair to you, but it feels to me like it's a bit unfair. Take from the person who has one and give it now to the person who has 10. Does that seem fair to you? I don't know. It doesn't feel like that to me. But it's interesting that Jesus has said this before. That he says in Matthew 13, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." It's not the first time Jesus has said this. God has given us a revelation of who Jesus is. He's given us a revelation of his purposes. Paul talks about the open secret. If you read that word mystery, he talks about the open secret. It's not a mystery. It was a mystery, but now it's not a mystery. But to those who don't know, it's still a mystery. God has revealed his purposes to the church. He's given us a knowledge about his plans and purposes. And when we read these passages, we get a glimpse down to the end of the story and how God is going to fulfill all things at the end of time. I don't know about you, but when I read, "And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth," what you think? Man, Jesus, could you not have said something a bit easier? Could you not have said something that sounded a bit cheerier? And I don't know about you, as I read this passage, when I get to this part in the passage, it shocks me. I feel a sense of shock. And it slightly disturbs me. This isn't some kind of person who's on the outside, nothing to do with the master. This is a servant. And Jesus is saying that when everything is settled, he's cast out of his master's presence. He's treated, if you take what Jesus is talking about, he's treated like an unbeliever. And it's a challenge for us to pray and to consider how we are living and what we're doing with the resources that God has entrusted to us. Resources that God has entrusted to us as stewards. I think we need to think seriously about how we steward the resources that God has given us. When we go way back to the start, Adam and Eve were to be co-regents with God and to manage God's creation. We're not doing very well at managing God's creation, but we're also not doing very well sometimes at managing ourselves. If we look at the world today, we see that there are problems in the world. I want to just try and define what we mean by stewardship this morning. What you do with what you have been given is the essence of stewardship. It's what you do with what you've been given. It's very easy in our culture to think that what we have is a result of our own achievements and our own efforts, and look at me, I'm so good. But everything that we have is a gift from God. What we're doing with what we have is influenced by what we think is important and or urgent. And there are times when what is important is superseded by what is urgent. I don't know if you've ever thought about how to prioritize your life and your activities. Is that wee graph with, you know, is it important, is it urgent, all that, blah de blah, if you've done any management training or whatever, you probably have heard those things. I can talk about a time when my life was taken over by something that was urgent, okay? Just to give you an idea what I'm talking about here. So I was in this cupboard just to the side here. So if you're not familiar with the church, just to my right, there are two doors. The first one nearest to me is a long cupboard, okay? There's all manner of stuff in there, okay, which we use week by week. And I was in that cupboard doing something which may have been important at the time. It may not have. I can't remember. Because when I was in that cupboard, Andrew Smith, previous pastor of the church, came running from there to there with a phone in his hand and saying, "It's Mary on the phone. She needs to speak to you." And so I take the phone from Mary, and what does she say? "I'm really sorry, but I've set the house on fire." And I'm like, "What?" So whatever I was doing that was important, in an instant became superseded by what was urgent, okay? And if you think those guys on a Sunday in the F1 can drive fast, you want to see me and my wee Mazda 3 shooting up for Whitburn to Falthouse. I got there before the fire brigade did. Went round the back of the house and saw that our kitchen diner was a big cube of smoke, okay? And the first thing I did was shut the gas off, because I could do that from outside. What was important, whatever I was doing that I thought was important, and it probably wasn't, okay, or at the end of the day on a Friday, was not that important, became superseded in an instant by what was urgent. And I sometimes wonder if the church has lost its sense of urgency. Have we lost our sense of urgency about how lost our world is? Because Jesus says here, and he said in Noah's day, the door was shut. Have we lost our sense of urgency that there will come a point in time where the door for some people will be shut and they'll be on the wrong side of the door? This is why we need to pray. This is why we need to steward what God has given us. There'll come a point in time where the accounts will be settled, where the door will be closed. What are we stewards of? What do we need to think about today? I want to touch on three things really quickly. The first one is time. None of the servants knew when the master would return. Neither do we. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. So I ask us, what are we doing with today? I hear these things been said. I've got no time. I'm too busy. I don't want to hear anybody ever say again, "I've got no time," or "I'm too busy." Okay? Because here's the reality. We each start the day with 24 hours ahead of us, whatever time your day starts. Might start when you're in bed sleeping. I don't know how. My day starts when I get up at 7. And probably ends at 6:59 the following morning. We each start the day with 24 hours in the day. We start the week with 7 days in the week. We've all been given the same allocation of time. Nobody can say, I've got no time. Nobody can say, I've got no time. Nobody can say, I'm too busy. Oh, can you come and help me with such and such? I'm too busy. Why am I saying this? Because we've been given the same allocation of time. And we all make time for what is important to us. Every one of us, we make time for what is important to us. Our days are filled with activity and all sorts of things, and it's based on what's important to us. So you can't say, I've got no time. What you're in fact saying is, that's not a priority in my life. This is a priority in my life. So if somebody comes and asks you to do something in church, and you say, oh, I've no time, or I'm too busy, what you're actually saying is, that's not important enough for me, because this stuff is. Now, I get that we've got to balance things in life, because sometimes we have busy lives and jobs that take up time and responsibilities and all these things that we do. I get that. But our priorities will determine how we spend our time. The question is, do your priorities align with God's priorities? How are you stewarding your time? I'm a bit of a movie buff, as you know. It's a bit of a thing that runs in our family. And I was watching the latest James Bond film. And I'm not going to tell you what happened in it if you've not seen it. But there's a moment in the film where M is reading out of a book. And the critics have said, well, the book wasn't open at the right place. Anyway, that's beside the point. And I found it quite moving as I heard him read out these words. The proper function of man is to live, not to exist. I shall not waste my days in trying to prolong them. I shall use my time. I remember listening to that in the movie, and I was like, wow, where does that come from? Who said that? The proper function of man is to live, not to exist. I shall not waste my days in trying to prolong them. I shall use my time. It's very tempting to play it safe. And I think about our persecuted brothers in the church, brothers and sisters, who don't have an option. They can't play it safe. They need to go on with it day in and day out and depend on the strength of God. And there's no point in spending our time trying to prolong our time. We need to use the time that God has given us. Each servant had a different gifting. The level of gifting is not the point. What they did with their gift was, in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. We've been given a unique purpose in the image of God to do the work of God in this world. To quote Peter in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. How are you stewarding your talents this morning? Thirdly, how are you stewarding your treasure? Each servant was given a different sum. And again, the point is not the sum. It's the return on what was given. I'm not going to go into this in great detail today, but our treasure, our finances, and our physical, practical resources that we have, how are we using them? How are we investing our income? This week at assembly, I did two assemblies this week, Longridge and Polkemmet. And in those assemblies, the thrust of what we were talking about was how God loves the world. And it was my great pleasure to actually talk about some of the ways that we help the world through our missions that we support. And I showed them a video that Andrew had sent over with the Piglet Project. It created massive hilarity in assembly as this wee squealing pig was thrust right up to the camera. And it was fantastic. So I'm going to message Andrew and say how helpful his video was. But I was able to say to the boys and girls that we love the world, not just by saying so, but by what we do. And we do that by giving. We do that by praying, given financially and given of our time to pray. And we had a great missions prayer time this week. When we give our tithes and offerings to this church, we are part of that giving. How are we using our time? How are we using our talent? How are we using our treasure? Matthew chapter 19, verse 21, Jesus, and he's answering the questions of a rich young man. He says, if you want to be perfect, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talked about money, and he said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. God's not asking the world of you. It's already his. It's already his. He's not asking the world. He's asking you to play your part, just to contribute back part of that world, the part of the world that he's given to you, entrusted to you as a steward. How are you stewarding your treasure? There's so much that could be said on this subject, so much more, but time is marching away from us this morning, and I'm really only scratching the surface of this subject. Maybe we'll go into it a wee bit more next week, but I want to just leave us with these three questions. How are you stewarding your time? How are you stewarding your talents? How are you stewarding your treasure? I said earlier today, what you do with what you've been given is the essence of stewardship. It's also the essence of worship, putting God first in our lives. And I said at the start, you might have heard some of this stuff before. Back in January 2020, I came across some notes. And as let me just read what I wrote here as I draw things to a close. As we opened up the book of Ephesians, that was on the 9th of September 2019, I really believe the Holy Spirit got hold of me that day. You might remember it. I remember it. And as I shared, most people responded. But it's one thing to stand in response in a service and quite another to respond in the day-to-day, in the everyday, in the decisions that we make from that moment we get up to the moment we put our heads down on the pillow. It's how we use our resources that's the real determining factor. Our time, what we put in our diary. Our energy, what we decide to use it on. Our finances, how we decide to spend them. And all our resources, whether or not they're available for God to use. This is our challenge today. And God has a purpose and a mandate for this church. And I shared a few weeks ago that God is opening up a new chapter in the church. God needs us to enter into that new chapter. God needs us to steward what he has given to us as we enter into a new chapter. Let's just bow our heads and pray as we're almost finished this morning. Just one last thing, as I was preparing this message, I wrote something down, and I wasn't sure if it was for somebody today or not. But I'm going to share it anyway because I feel it may be relevant. And what I wrote down was, don't be too concerned about your profile in the kingdom of God. Focus on your purpose. Don't be too concerned about your profile in the kingdom of God. Focus on your purpose. And if that's a message for me, then I'll take that. But Father, it's so easy to get caught up, especially in a social media internet world where we can see what's happening throughout the world and across the world. And Father, great things and not so great things that are happening. Father, it's tempting to think that we can't do anything. Tempting to think that we can't make any changes or make any impact. But Father, I really believe that you're saying to us today that we can make an impact. We can make a difference. And so Father, we ask that you'd help us today as we go away and as we consider this message today, as we consider the parable of the three stewards as we think about our time, as we think about our talents, as we think about our treasure, and think about, in a challenging way maybe, what are we doing with them? Father, we pray that your Spirit would come and that you would show us, that you would open up our hearts, that we might receive from you, that we might receive that word from you, that living, that rhema word that comes from you. Father, we pray as we read our Bibles this week that you would speak to us and that our hearts would be open to hear and to receive your word, just like the seed that fell on the good soil in that parable that Jesus told. Father, may our hearts be like good soil this week as we stop and consider these things. Father, we ask that you'd lead us into all that you have for us. Father, help us not to go out today and forget what has been said. Father, help us to make some decisions today to really spend time and think about how we're going to put this into practice, how we're going to respond to your word to us today. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the great things that are happening in and through this church. And Lord, we just want to press into the great things that you have. Father, to the new seasons which you will take us into. And so, Father, we pray, lead us very clearly into all these things. Father, may we know your presence as we do this. Lord, we can't do it on our own. We need your strength. And so, Father, we pray, come and just strengthen us to be good stewards. In Jesus' name we ask. And all God's people said today, amen.